Hi, and welcome to the Salvation Army Southwest podcast. You'll find engaging messages here, so please go ahead and listen and check out some of our other messages and enjoy what you hear. You can always follow us online on our Facebook page or go to our website to find out more information. Thank you for listening.
Hey, good morning, church. I need you to do something for me really quickly. I need you to stand up where you're at. Could you stand up if you're watching us online? And you're in your living room, you can stand up too. So everyone standing up, I want you to shake your left leg, get it kind of, you know, give it a bit of a shake, get it, you know, get it moving, get the blood going down to it, you know. Do your right leg, do the same thing. stepping in, stepping out, you can't turn around, no. I want you to shake someone's hand quickly, because I want to adjust this lectern, this music stand. So just shake someone else's hand, maybe not your own hand, and then you could take a seat wherever you're at. So good. We're a church, we should be able to shake each other's hands and be able to interact with each other. It's good. If you're online, a special welcome to you. It's so good to have you with us. I know there's some of you are on holidays, travelling around our great state. Some of you are watching in from other places around Australia, around the world even. So a special welcome to you. We are so glad you're with us. If you're in an area that's isolated at the moment and you've been locked down, please stay safe, stay secure, follow local government guidelines and stuff like that. And if you have any prayer requests, you could send them through to us at the top of our Facebook page. You'll find a form, a Connect form, and you can hit a prayer request on there. Same with everyone in the room. If you have a prayer request, you can either fill out a physical card or you can go online at the top of our page is a prayer request digital card, and that will come through to us as well. But if you're in the room, good morning! I am glad to be back. We were blessed, weren't we, with some people who spoke when we were away. But I'm glad to be back. I love being back. It feels homely. You know, when you come home to family, that's what it kind of feels like for me. So we enjoyed our time away. Zoe and I had a break. We went up north and just got to hang out up there where there was no phone reception for me. So it was good. I had to disconnect. And every time we drove somewhere that my phone kicked in, it would bing, 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 bing on the notifications, and then it would stop again, and it was good. But hey, look, we were tired. We needed a break, and so I want to thank you for allowing us to do that. It was great. Special thanks. I know Zoe said some thanks before, but special thanks to Tegan, leading and preaching, Christy for the music and sounds, you know, Michael for the streaming and computer stuff. Katrina brought a message. That was fantastic. Angela looked after Busselton. I believe she's sick today. She had the COVID vaccine and I think it knocked her around a bit. Anyone else who did anything, thank you so much for stepping up and giving us the time to have a break. But I'm excited because we're starting a new series. It's called Jonah, the Stinking Prophet. Do I have a picture of it? I think I have a picture of it in there. There it is. Jonah, the Stinking Prophet. If you could imagine being stuck inside a fish's belly for 3 days, he would have stunk. But we're going to learn that actually he stunk in so many other ways, not just physically with the smell of being inside a fish. So, stinking prophet. Someone say the stinking prophet. Come on. Oh, good. We haven't forgotten. See, the book of Jonah for me is one of those books that I read quite often. It's one of the 12 minor prophets. There's 12 minor prophets, 4 major prophets. The 4 major prophets are only known as major because they're big. The minor prophets are known as minor because they're smaller. In fact, Jonah only has 48 verses. That's it. 48 verses, 4 chapters. And it's a small book, but it is jam-packed with so much stuff in it. It's a story about a prophet running from God. It's a story about how God chases him down. It's a story of a big fish. It's also a story of a little worm. We don't often think about the worm, remember the worm, but it's a story of a little worm. It's a story of God's amazing grace to entire cities of people. But it's also a story of the amazing grace to an individual. It's a story of God's faithfulness. It's a story of God's forgiveness. It's a story of one of the greatest revivals we read about in the Bible. It is one of the greatest revivals. It's a story of second chances and third chances and fourth chances and all that. I don't know about you, but I need a number of chances. You guys do? Yeah. It's a story, and the whole book of Jonah kind of brings it to us, but it's really a story about Jonah's attitude. You see, when we read all the other prophets and all the other stories, we see that the word of the Lord came to the prophets, to certain prophets, and it concentrated on what the prophets said, what God was trying to convey to the people. This book is different. It's the only one that's different, and that's, I think, why so many people like it. It's a book that actually concentrates on the prophet's attitude and response to what God has called him to do. It's completely different in that respect. It doesn't concentrate too much on what God wants. It concentrates in the sense of speaking that out for the prophet. It concentrates on the attitude of the prophet himself. And so this is a story that we have that looks at the attitude. And it should cause us, if we study it properly, it should cause us to reflect our own lives, our walks with God personally. It should cause us to look at our mission as a church and as a church as a whole. This is what this book should do for us. It should mirror back some of the stuff we read about. So I need you to do something for me. Can you do something for me? Maybe. At least you're honest about that. I need you not to switch off. Because I know there are plenty of people who have heard the story of Jonah and had sermon series and pastors have done it, and this might be the fifth time you've studied the book of Jonah in church. For some people, it could be. If you're watching us online and you do a lot of sermons, this could be. But what I'm asking you to do is to come at it with fresh eyes. Can you do that? Come at it with open hearts. Come in with it wanting to learn something new. Come at it with expecting God to do something through the text and through the story of Jonah. Come expecting God to do great things in your life and in our church. Can you do that? Awesome! Half of yous. We're going for it. All right, let's pray, and then we're going to get into week one. That's the introduction. I just wanted to give you I want to set this up. And this week we're going to do the introduction. I'm going to finish chapter one next week. Then we're going to do chapter two, chapter three, chapter four, and really go through it. There's so much, by the way, in this book that you can read it and reread it and reread it. And if that's all you read for the next 4 weeks is the book of Jonah, you'll get stuff out of it every day. There is so much in here. And we're going to dig into it. Let's pray. Father God, we gather here today and we recognize that you are the God of the universe. You are the God who hung the stars. You put the moon in place. You spoke all that we can see into existence and all that we can't see. You're a God who puts the rainbow in the sky and reminds us of your promises, your faithfulness. And with the winds that we've had in the southwest this week, seeing the rainbow just reminds us of how good you are. You're a God who is mighty. You're a God who is powerful. You're a God who is amazing. You're a God who is worthy. You're a God who is awesome. And you're a God who is caring and a God who is loving. You're a God who is our Savior. Thank you for sending Jesus Christ to the cross to pay the price for our sins. Thank you for your love of sending him and saving us from death and transforming our lives and giving us new life and life to the fullest. So as we study over the next few weeks, God, don't let us get distracted. Speak to us loudly. Shake us up. Give us a sense of urgency. Make us bold and courageous to share your story with others. Speak to us like only you can through this incredible story of Jonah's life. In Jesus' name, everyone said? Amen. If you're wondering, I'm drinking iced tea and it's full of caffeine, so you know. It should get me charged up and ready to go. If you've got your Bibles, open them up. Jonah chapter 1. We're going to start at verse 1. The words are coming up on the screens. We're going to read a little bit of this. I'm going to read a bit, scream a bit, read a bit, scream a bit, and see where we get to. And go through this thing. This is what it says, Jonah chapter 1, verse 1. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of I don't even know how to pronounce half these names in the Bible. You just say it with confidence and hopefully someone goes with you. But there's Jonah. The word of the Lord came to Jonah. Can I tell you, God still speaks today. God still speaks today. God still speaks today. The question really is, not is God speaking, Are we listening? There's a story of a guy who went for a job. He was a Morse code operator. He went for a job. He wanted a job in Morse code. And so he went and he saw the job ad. He went to the interview, got called up for an interview, went into the door. He walked in and the room was chaos. There was people everywhere for this interview, for this job. There was noise, there was a radio playing, there was the receptionist typing and all that. And he walks up to the counter to the receptionist, and the receptionist says, "Yes, can I help you?" And he goes, "I'm here for the job interview." And the receptionist says, yep, just sit down. The boss will be with you in a minute. So he goes and sits down, and he's sitting in his chair, and the chaos, he's looking around. There's chaos everywhere. There's people doing all sorts of things and talking and stuff, and he's sitting there looking at it all. And then all of a sudden he gets up, walks across the reception area foyer, straight into the boss's office, and closes the door behind him. Everyone in the room is just dead silent, looking at him going, what has he just done? Like they're going, we've been sitting here for an hour and a half, waiting for this job interview. He's just got up, he's just got here, what's going on? And he walks straight in, and they started to talk about it, going, what is this? Anyway, the guy comes out with the boss. And the boss goes, thank you everybody for coming today. I've just given the job to this guy. You can all go home now. Of course, everyone erupted into absolute chaos at this point. Go, you didn't even interview us. This guy just rocked up and he walks in and you give him the job. We've been here an hour. Where's the, you know? And he goes, look, the whole time you've been sitting there in Morse code over the radio has been ticking out. If you can understand this message, come into the office. The job is yours. See, they didn't slow down enough. They didn't quiet down enough. Didn't pay attention to the voice. You see, we fill our lives with so much noise that sometimes we just need to stop and listen. God is still speaking. The word of the Lord is still coming. The word of the Lord is here for us, for church. The word of the Lord is here. But we drown it out with so much other stuff that we miss it. We get caught up in our own stuff. What's happening in our life? We miss what God is saying. Are we listening? Are we listening? Jonah didn't miss what God was saying. The word of the Lord came to Jonah. He got it. And this is what the word of the Lord said. Verse 2, go to that great city of Nineveh and preach against it because its wickedness has come up before me. Now, I'm not surprised Nineveh's wickedness come up before God. Nineveh, I don't know how much you know, but Nineveh in this time was the capital of the Assyrian Empire. Now, the Assyrian Empire, right, was a nasty piece of work. Their practices, their behaviours, the things they did was not great. In fact, in Nahum, a couple of books later in chapter 3, verse 1, it says that Nineveh is known as the city of bloodshed. The city of bloodshed. In fact, they would slaughter people all the time and just leave their dead bodies on the street. In fact, according to Nahum again, you know, about Nineveh, there was countless bodies just lined up in the streets, dead. They had this practice, I was reading about this practice, where they would kill people, but they would flay them alive, skin them, and they would be skinned alive. They would start at the back and work their way down the spine and they'd skin them alive. That's how they killed them. Some of them got infections after that, and also it was terrible, bad practices, and they were known to just wipe out whole cities, whole anybody who came up against the Assyrians, they were gone. These guys practiced everything. They knew pain, they knew torture, they knew how to just, it was brutal. And so God's saying, go to this great city of Nineveh and preach against it, for its wickedness has come up before me. In fact, that word go in the scripture right there, it actually translates, if you put the tense in it back into English, we translate it badly, but it should read, arise, go and proclaim to the great city about their wickedness. So in other words, it's an action. Get up and go and arise and preach against their wickedness. Verse 3, but this is what Jonah did, right? Verse 3. But Jonah, someone say but. Oh, you're half awake. Say but. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed to Tarshish, and he went down to Joppa, and he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed from for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. So instead of going to the place where God wanted him to go, he goes in the complete opposite direction. If Nineveh was here, let's say Nineveh is here, right? I'll stay in the screen, here. Then Tarshish would be 7 screens that way, in the complete opposite direction. And he ran. And you know what? If he was running for fear of his life from the Assyrian Empire, I would understand that. I think my prayer would be, God, if I go to Nineveh, I could get killed. I could just, you know, they kill people. That's what they do for sport and for fun. I mean, I've heard the stories, God, that they skin people alive. Like, I don't want to do that. They leave them on the streets. I don't want to die. Thanks, God, but no thanks. I'm out. That would be my prayer, probably. But the problem is, and this is the problem, because if we're honest, we would all say that prayer, wouldn't we? If God sent us to a place where they skin people alive, we would be like, yeah, no. Come on. Be honest. Come on. We wouldn't do it. Right? Jonah ran. If that was why Jonah ran, right, I would understand. But that's not why Jonah ran. It's not. Flicking your Bibles quickly to Jonah chapter 4. Jonah chapter 4, if you can, verse 1. I think the word's coming up on the screen. We've got Jonah chapter 4. There we go. But to Jonah, this seemed very wrong, and he became very angry. He prayed to the Lord, "Isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home? This is why I tried to foretell by fleeing to Tarshish. I knew that you were a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity." Jonah ran because he knew God would forgive them. Jonah ran because he knew God was a God of love. Jonah ran because he knew God, you know, relents from sending calamity. He knew who his God was, slow to anger, abounding in love. And Jonah, in his mind, thought that the Ninevites did not deserve forgiveness. He thought they were evil. He thought they did evil things. They thought he deserved it. He thought that they deserved to die for the sins and the pain and the heartache they had caused to so many around. And he thought that they got themselves into this mess as a nation, and that God's love was not for them. Effectively, Jonah hated the Ninevites. Most of God's people did at this age. They were fearful of him, but he wasn't fearful of what was going to happen to him. He was fearful because of the fact that he knew that God was going to forgive them. And he didn't like them. Dare I say, he had a bias towards that group of people. Actually, let me push that further. He was racist. He did not want the Ninevites worshipping the same God he did. He knew God would forgive them, that he was loving. And so he ran. Not because of what they could do to Jonah, but because of what God would do for them. He ran. He wanted them to die. Now, that's pretty extreme. But this is why Jonah ran. It says so, chapter 4. And here's the thing, S-Fam, and this is going to hurt. There's a little bit of Jonah in each and every one of us. We may not proclaim to be racist in the sense of wiping out whole groups of people, but we certainly carry biases. You know, we're walking in the middle of Bunbury at night. We see a guy with face tattoos all over his face. We get a bit scared. We think he's going to do something, so we cross the other side of the road. Or we see someone who's homeless that doesn't smell right. Or we stay away from people who don't look like us, dress like us, talk like us. We avoid teenagers. Well, that's just because they're teenagers. God bless them. I have 2 of them at home, and yeah. Phew. But we carry these biases around, don't we? Like, if we're really honest with that, we do. Like, I had to sit with this, because I do carry this. We don't even realize sometimes that we're doing it, but we carry these biases around. Yet God sees this city of Nineveh. He sees the down and outs. He sees the ones that are hard to get along with, the ones that drive us and irritate us to the bone, the ones that, you know, have maybe caused us pain. And he loves them with the same love he loves us with. Does that make sense? Like, can you imagine if God played favorites? That would be disastrous, wouldn't it? Well, I like the Americans, and you're not American. You're like fifth down the list. Or I like the Germans versus, or I like the English. Like, that would actually be wrong. God doesn't play favorites. We know that. James says that. But God is saying to this, hey, this city of Nineveh deserves my love just as much as you do. Go and preach against them about their wicked ways. The whosoevers who are homeless. The whosoevers that don't dress the way we dress. The whosoevers that swear every second word. The whosoevers that, you know, might cause us pain and suffering. God loves them with the same love he loves us with. And yet we carry a bias around. God looked at the city of Nineveh and he called it a great city. He didn't call it an evil city. He called it a great city. It was almost like he could see the potential of Nineveh before Nineveh could see the potential of Nineveh. Well, hang on. Didn't he do that with each and every one of us? Saw our potential in Christ before we could even see our own potential? Didn't he? Like, come on, people. Didn't he? Make some noise. It's my first week back. I need your encouragement. He saw their potential and went, this is a great city. Yes, they've sinned a bit and their wickedness has come up before me, but they are a great city. You need to go to them and give them a second chance, a third chance, a fourth chance, because I'm a God of love and I don't want to bring calamity. I want them to know who I am. And so in that moment, God tells his prophet, go and share the good news. Go share the good news that I am a forgiving God, the God of heaven and the God of earth. I am forgiving. I'm gracious. I'm a God of second, third chances. But Jonah runs. He runs. Next week, we're going to start to look at his life in the fish and some of the things that happened to him, and it's very interesting stuff. But Jonah's attitude right here stinks. Got a stinky attitude, which is why we call the series, what do we call it? The Stinking Prophet. His attitude stunk. He gave Jonah an assignment and he ran. You know, I get that we have some biases. I've said that. That's a little bit of Jonah in us. But we do what Jonah did. We run. We run from the assignments that God gives us. And we make up all these excuses why we need to run. Come up. Can you just start when you get there? I know we're at verse 3 and we haven't travelled far today, but bear with me. I get curious about some of this stuff. And so I pulled up a map of where Tarshish was, where Joppa was, where Nineveh was, where he was at the time in Israel. Can I have that map up on the screen, please? There it is. So Joppa's there at the lower point. 2,500 miles this way is Tarshish. 550 is Nineveh. Where Jonah was at the time is 50 miles north of where Joppa is. So Israel is just a little bit further up the line. 50 miles up. So he's 500 miles away from Nineveh. But I want you to capture this. 2,500 miles in the opposite direction. And he pays a fare and he gets on a boat and he starts to head towards Tarshish. Capture this. See, because as Christ followers, we do this. God gives us an assignment. And it looks like it's a far way, 500 miles. Like, that's a pretty decent journey. But it looks that far. But yet we will travel 2,500 miles in the opposite direction to get out of the assignment God gives us because we don't want to do it. That's tough, hey? We get creative with our excuses. I mean, Tarshish is 5 times the distance than it was to get to Nineveh. It probably cost him 5 times the amount because he had to pay a fare to get on a boat. There would have been food and all sorts of things. It would have taken 5 times longer to get to Tarshish than it was to Nineveh. And yet he goes to the extreme to try and get away from what God had called him to do. A lot of us are running from the assignments that God has given us. Matthew 28, this is just one assignment. Jesus' last words. You know it's important if this is the last thing he says to us. It says, all authority, Jesus speaking, in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore go, or as you are going, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you to the end of the age. Can I ask you, when was the last time you had a conversation about your faith to someone outside of the church? When was the last time you shared your story of how Jesus' love impacted your life with someone outside of the church? And maybe today God has told you to talk to family, talk to friends, talk to neighbors, to workmates, whoever, and you've been making excuses and trying to go 5 times that way instead of doing what God had told you to do to start with. He may have told you this 20 years ago and you're still sitting there going, God, do something. Well, actually, he told you, he gave you this. You just didn't do it. You've come up with every excuse out there. 5 times the amount of energy it's taken to keep going to Tarshish instead of actually sitting and going straight to Nineveh, where God told you to go. We have a message. God loves us. We have a story. He's transformed us. He's brought us from death to life. He's merciful because he forgave our sins. He forgave my sins. He's forgiven your sins. And yet we are holding that information to ourselves and we're not doing it. And I know this is uncomfortable. But we need to start this series right. By saying, you know what? Let's get rid of the biases. Let's get rid of, you know, what we think deserves God's love and who doesn't. Let's just start inviting people all over the place, our friends, our families, our things, because let's face it, in our creativity and disobedience, and I am calling it disobedience, not fulfilling the calling that God has given us to share the good news, that's, if we know we're supposed to do that and we don't do it, that's sin. And God's given us his message, and we come up with creative things. I'm too old. I'm too young. I can't speak well. We're going to learn that Jonah can't speak well either. That person just drives me nuts. I don't want to do it. They don't deserve it. Well, that's not good enough. They might think that I'm going to be a religious nut if I share with them and talk about Jesus. So be it. Might lose a friendship if I talk to them about Jesus. Will you? Have you ever done that before and actually lost that friendship if you shared Jesus with someone? I don't think I've ever lost a friend by sharing Jesus with them. But we say that we could. We think that we can. Like, I get there's some actual fear sometimes around sharing our faith, but actually, are we sinning by trying to run to Tarshish instead of going to our Ninevehs? Paul wrote in Romans 14, this is not on the screen because I added it in. It says, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they have been sent? For it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. You see, we have been sent into our world. I thought about calling this sermon, Here I Am, Send Him. Or Here I Am, Send Her, because I thought that would be a really cool title. But actually, we just need to get down to it and go, you know what? We have dropped the ball sometimes with sharing our faith with people. Like, I get that some of us may not have a big friends group or a big workplace group, but we encounter people and have conversations in different spaces all the time. We need to be a church whether it's here in the room, down in Busselton, on lot, wherever, a church that actually gets rid of the stinky attitude of, I don't want to do that, and actually starts to do what God has called us to do, sharing the good news. The church exists simply to show our community, show our neighbours, show people who don't know Jesus that there is a God who is great, a God who is worthy of praise, a God who deserves it. And so the church, let's be that church that is sent into our world to do that. Let's be a church that starts inviting people regardless of what they say. If they say no, so be it. After 99 no's, you might get one yes. And if you get one yes, then it's one more person in the kingdom. Let us be a church that understands that all people are valuable to God, regardless of what they've done, or where, or do, or where they've been. Let us be a church that shows the amazing grace of Jesus with everyone we encounter, inside, outside, down the wherever. Let us be a church that hears the call. The word of the Lord has come to Bunbury, to Busselton, to the south. The word of the Lord says, go into your world. Into Bunbury, into Busselton, into Southwest, in West Australia, into the world, wherever you are, into your neighbourhoods, into your communities. Wherever people are, we need to go because God wants them saved. And He's chosen to do you to make that happen. You might invite someone and they go, I don't have transport. We can fix that. Go pick them up. Bring them in. If they say no, you don't stop being their friend. You just stay being their friend and ask him again and again and again until it happens. But a lot of us make up excuses for why we're running in the wrong direction. I think it's time for us to stop running in the wrong direction and just to actually start doing what God called us to do. There's 147 chairs in this building right now, in here. Each one should be filled. I believe they can be. Like when you connect one Lego piece to another Lego piece, they kind of click together. That's what we need to do with our community and people outside the church. So we're going to sing this song, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. And I chose this song because it talks about what God has done for us. But it's a reminder of what God can do for someone else too. He's broken my chains, but He can break their chains. So I'm going to ask you to be serious for a minute. And I'm going to ask you, as we sing, if you stand, you're standing because you're saying, I repent for running away in the wrong direction. I repent for the excuses. And some of us have creative excuses, don't get me wrong. But stand to say, I'm committing to you, God, and I'm committing to the people around me right now that I'm going to get serious about my faith and sharing God's full message of Jesus Christ with people. I'm going to stand knowing that I've got a God who a church who loves me, a God who wants the world to be in relationship with Him, and I'm going to start inviting people to God, into relationship with Him. I'm going to start inviting people to church. I'm going to start inviting people to do that. Don't stand if you're not serious. I want people who are seriously going to do this. Maybe you're standing and you're just saying, hey, look, God, I've carried so many biases that's got in my way. I need to shake that off. Help me to do that because I want to get serious. So if God is speaking, I want you to stand. If you're online and you're watching and you're joining us online, I get that, you know, standing, if you're in a caravan watching this could be a bit difficult, or a tent, or if you're holidaying, or, you know, wherever you are at home. Put in the chat, standing. I'm going to get serious. So let's do that. We're going to sing Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, that saved a wretch like me. Well, I once was lost and now I'm found, I'm blind but now I see. You see, this is a challenge for us as the church because the word of the Lord has come to the Salvos Southwest. The word of the Lord has come to the Salvos Southwest. Are you listening? Are you listening? Let's sing.
will be forever mine. Will be forever mine. You are forever mine. My chains are gone, my wings set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. The price of blood, His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace.
Dear God, we want to thank you because we've heard the call to go into our world, to go talk to our neighbours, to our friends, to our family. We've heard the call to share how good you are. The word of the Lord has come to the southwest. Help us not to run to Tarshish, but to run to Joppa, us to Nineveh, to the place you've called us to. Help us to run and let us not be fearful or anxious or worried. Just help us to share. So Lord, by standing to you today, we are getting serious about this, and we want to be a church who reaches out to the lost, the last, and the least. A church who sees people for who they are, loved by you, regardless of what they're wearing or doing or what they've done. We just want to love people and show them the good news that they can be saved. We want to love them with the same love you've loved us. And so God, make us bold. Make us courageous. Make us people who just go into our world and share that with our workmates and our families and our friends and anyone we encounter. We want to make sure we get the message out there far and wide that you're a God of second chances and third chances and fourth chances. So speak to our hearts this week. I know this is a tough message, God, for us to hear, but we need to hear it sometimes. I needed to hear it this week. People need to hear it. You've called the church to be the instrument of carrying the good news to our community. Let us be that church. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. And if we are that church, then the prayer should be, build your kingdom here. Right here. Build your kingdom in the southwest. Build your kingdom around me. Let's sing.